Okay, here we go. Is that better? So I'm Rose Martinez, and I direct the Board on Population Health and Public Health Practice at the Institute of Medicine. And I had the privilege of being a collaborating board on the report, U.S. Health and International Perspective, Shorter Lives, Poorer Health. And that's what the topic of this session will be focusing on. The way it's arranged is that we have two speakers, two of the committee members, actually the chair, Steve Wolf, and Paula Braverman, who is a committee member. They will be giving you highlights from the report, and then it's will be followed by a reactor panel, and the reactions will be coming from Josh Solomon, who will provide a global perspective, Joe Ivy Buford, who will provide a public health policy perspective, and Martine Sepulveda, who will provide a business perspective. So I'm just going to give some brief background on your speakers. So Dr. Steve Wolf is the director of the Center on Human Needs and professor of family medicine at the Virginia Commonwealth University. He's a family physician and is also board certified in preventive medicine and public health. His work is focused on promoting effective healthcare services and on highlighting the importance of behavioral and social determinants of health, particularly with regard to the role of poverty, education, and race and ethnicity, and disparities in determining the health of Americans. Dr. Paula Braverman is a professor of family and community medicine, and she's also director of the Center on Social Disparities in Health at UC San Francisco. Her research has focused on measuring, documenting, and understanding socioeconomic and racial ethnic disparities in health, particularly in maternal and infant health. She collaborates extensively with local, state, federal, and international health agencies to support the translation of research into programs and policies. Joshua Solomon is a professor of global health in the Department of Global Health and Population at Harvard School of Public Health. His research focuses on priority setting in global health within three main areas: measurement of population health status and health valuations, modeling and forecasting health outcomes and disease burden, and evaluation of the potential impact and cost effectiveness of current and future health interventions. Dr. Joe Ivy Buford is president of the New York Academy of Medicine. She's a professor of public service, health policy and management at the Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service and clinical professor of pediatrics at NYU School of Medicine. She served as the dean of the Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service at New York University from 1997 to 2000. And prior to that, she served as principal deputy assistant secretary for health in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Martine Sepulveda is Vice President of the Integrated Health Services for the IBM Corporation. His research interests include health information privacy reform, health promotion programs, and risk reduction program measurement, value-based health care purchasing, and global occupational health services delivery. And he is a fellow of the American College of Physicians, the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, and the American College of Preventive Medicine. So with that, I'm going to let Dr. Wolf begin by presenting an overview of the report, and then he will be followed by Dr. Braverman, and then we'll move into the reactor panel, and hopefully we'll have enough time at the end to take questions from the floor. Okay?
Good morning. Let's start with a sound check. Can you hear me in the back?
No.
No. Okay. Well, not being an AV person, I'm not sure. How about this? Okay. And I promise not to start singing. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming here at 8:30 in the morning, and I hope you've had your coffee. I often suggest people take antidepressants before this talk. It's apologies in advance. Paula and I are going to be speaking relatively quickly to compress, in a matter of minutes, a 400-plus page report. So you're going to get a lot of information thrown at you very quickly, but hopefully you'll get the gist of it. And please visit the website of the National Research Council and the Institute of Medicine, where you can actually see the report, download it, read it at your length, and I think there are some issue briefs floating around here in the room that give you a shorter summary. So with that, let me get started here. There's the disclosure. Quick background, I assume most of you are familiar with the Institute of Medicine and the National Academy of Sciences, but just for background for those who don't, formed back at the time of Abraham Lincoln to provide independent scientific advice to Congress and national decision makers. This particular project was co-sponsored by the National Research Council and the Institute of Medicine, which are two of the three arms of the national academies. A lot of people to acknowledge for this report. Time doesn't permit me to list them all. Let me just say that we had a very impressive panel that I had the privilege of chairing, made up of experts in multiple disciplines, but we also had consultants from a variety of domains, from a variety of countries, and excellent feedback from peer reviewers and commission reports that also informed our process. This is the kind of slide you're used to seeing when we have discussions about healthcare reform and how much we spend on healthcare in the United States. It plots the percentage of GDP going toward healthcare in various countries and life expectancy, and you see the U.S. indicated in red as the outlier, spending very large amounts of money on healthcare, but not getting much value for its dollar. But the issue that our report focused on was not so much that issue, as important as that is, but the fact that our dot there with a red circle around it is, in fact, lower than most of the other high-income countries. Our life expectancy is shorter. And the perspective we took was to compare our health situation with that of 16 peer countries. By this, we were referring to a group of 16 high-income countries that were also like the United States in terms of being established democracies with large economies and similar styles of governance. And using those as our peer comparison, set out to see how the health of Americans compares with comparable groups in those countries. We did on occasion depart from this model and look at emerging economies in developing countries because we also found it fascinating that in many cases their health is superior to that in the United States. Going very quickly, we're going to look at mortality rates. Very broad buckets here. Non-communicable diseases, communicable diseases, and injuries. So if you just take those three broad categories, what's shown here is the ranking of the United States in terms of its mortality. The red bar, just to orient you to our visuals here, the red bar is the United States, the other gray bars are the 16 peer countries, and you can see that in terms of non-communicable diseases, the United States has the second highest mortality rate. Communicable diseases, fourth highest, with very dramatic numbers in terms of AIDS mortality and so forth. I should digress for a moment to tell you that all these bar charts that I'm showing you, in addition to being available in our report, there is also an online tool on the National Research Council website that allows you to interactively explore these numbers. You can click on any of these and drill down into subcategories, cause-specific mortality rates, and look at the U.S. ranking relative to those. How are we doing on sound in the back? Can you hear me better now? Great. Mortality from injuries. Finland is the only country that beats us in terms of injury mortality. And in terms of transportation accidents, the U.S. Has the highest rate among the OECD countries. I think I just went too far. How do I back up? Well, in the interest of time, I won't back up. The epidemiologist in the crowd will perhaps appreciate this to start getting down into some cause-specific mortality rates. And I realize the font is small, but I think even if you can't read the words, you'll get the idea if I tell you that this is a table that shows in the upper part of the table the various causes of specific mortality for which the U.S. has higher death rates than the peer countries. The lower part of the table are the conditions where the U.S. has equal or lower mortality rates. And you can see from the back of the room that the list is much longer on the top. The more interesting thing, if you can read the print, is the variety of conditions, the diverse spectrum of conditions that are shown in the upper part of that table, ranging from traditional chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease and diabetes to perinatal and other related birth and congenital anomalies as causes of death, nutritional deficiencies, musculoskeletal disease, injuries, and so forth. So a very broad spectrum of conditions, all of which the United States has higher death rates than peer countries. Now I'm going backwards. Let's see. Oh, thank you. This is, thank you for helping with that. While our panel was deliberating, we had the benefit of a report that had just come out from the Transportation Research Board at the National Research Council looking at mortality from transport accidents. Because this is something where the U.S. Does very poorly, and one of the questions that people often raise is, well, America's a big country, we have a lot of roads and highways, and maybe our death rates are higher simply because we got more cars on the road, more motorists. But the graph on the left is showing you deaths per kilometer driven. And you can see that it actually was the case that some years ago we had lower death rates from traffic accidents than the other peer countries. But about a decade ago, the lines crossed, and the trend continues that motorists in other countries are dying at lower death rates than in the United States. I needn't tell this audience that one of the major drivers of our higher mortality rate from injuries has to do with death rates from intentional injuries. A 2003 study showed that death rates from homicides were 7 times higher in the United States than in 22 comparison countries in the OECD, but firearm-related injuries 20 times higher than in other countries. This is a table that has gotten a lot of visibility, showing life expectancy in the United States relative to the other countries. The key takeaway here is we're down there at the bottom. For men, the very lowest ranking. Women, second lowest ranking among the peer countries in terms of life expectancy. The slides I'm showing you now actually were first introduced in a predecessor report of a panel that preceded our panel, sponsored by the National Research Council, that looked at the U.S. health disadvantage for people age 50 and older. And to explain what you're seeing here, the little red dots that you're seeing represent life expectancy for the United States, and the gray dots are the peer countries, the same 16 peer countries I mentioned earlier. And what you can see on the left for males is that back in 1980, we were sort of somewhere in the middle of the distribution, and then as time has progressed, male life expectancy has dropped to the bottom of the ranking. Same for females, as you can see. But perhaps the more dramatic slide is this one, which shows the probability of surviving to age 50. Again, on the left, you can see that males, the ranking for the United States dropped to the lowest. But look at females on the right, completely off the charts. The probability of a woman surviving to age 50 is way lower if she lives in the United States than if she lives in the peer countries. This is showing the years of life lost before age 50, an analysis that we commissioned for our panel. And you can see that in countries like Sweden, for example, half as much years of life are lost before age 50 as opposed to the United States. Now, this is a very interesting slide. Basically, this shows the ranking for U.S. Mortality rates by age group, by five-year age groups. And what you can see is that for every five-year age group, beginning at birth, all the way up to about age 75, the U.S. ranking in life expectancy is either at the bottom or right near the bottom. It's not until you, in other words, if you reach age 75, you're good in the United States in terms of your mortality rate. Our survival appears to be better for older age groups. But in every age group up until then, we're seeing the same pattern. So you can't say that this is a problem reflecting diseases of middle age, let's say, or this is all infant mortality rates. We're seeing a pervasive pattern across age groups. Now, one concern we had is that people might look at this and say, well, there's an important difference between the United States and those other countries. The United States is a large, racially and ethnically diverse population compared to those homogeneous populations in Scandinavia and so forth. There's a lot of poverty and income inequality in the United States. We have well-documented health disparities that exist. And so maybe these low rankings that you're seeing for the United States are simply the reflection of the very poor health of those vulnerable populations that are, in effect, bringing our average down. So to address that concern, we analyzed this just for non-Hispanic whites, and you can see more or less the same pattern. And this is something that, if you have time to read our report, you'll see we did a few times over, looking at the data for advantaged populations in the United States, college-educated Americans, upper-income Americans, whites, insured Americans, and compared them with their peers in other countries and found rich Americans are dying earlier than rich people in other countries, educated Americans dying earlier than educated people in other countries. It's a pervasive pattern. If you're curious about what are the actual causes of death, again, it's fascinating because when you start drilling down and looking at these specific conditions, you see that across a very diverse set of conditions, the red bars in the United States are higher than the gray bars in the other countries. And if you have a time later, you can look at this. You'll see it ranges from drugs to intentional injuries to maternal conditions and chronic diseases and so forth. Again, it cuts across the board. This shouldn't come as a surprise to you that our obesity rates are higher than in other countries, but what's shown here are the age breakdowns, and if you look closely, you'll see that as early as age 15, obesity rates in the United States are the highest, higher than similar age groups in other countries. And not surprisingly, diabetes tracks along with this, with us having much higher rates of diabetes than in the other countries. Infant mortality, this too, in an audience like this, may not come as a surprise that our infant mortality rates are higher than in other countries. If you look, though, at the bar chart on the right, you can see it's really much higher. Deaths per 1,000 live births, much higher in the United States than in the other countries. Again, if you think this is a reflection of the high mortality rates that African Americans experience and so forth, if you look down at the bottom of the right-hand part of the slide, non-Hispanic whites and mothers with 16-plus years of education also have higher infant mortality rates than those in other countries. So again, it's not something that's restricted to the vulnerable populations. Obviously, it's much worse for them, but it's certainly not exclusive. If the line graph over on the left-hand side shows you our infant mortality rate over a period of decades. And what you can see is this problem's been going on for a long time in the United States. Our infant mortality rates have been higher than those of other countries for quite a while. And it's not limited to infant mortality. Other birth outcomes, you see the same pattern. Shown on the left is low birth weight, where the United States has the second highest rate of low birth weight. And over on the right is data that came out during the time that our panel was deliberating, a different study comparing the U.S. with 184 countries, and our preterm birth rate was coming out as being comparable to sub-Saharan Africa. The disadvantage is not limited to birth. If we start looking at data for young children, the probability of a child surviving to age 5 is lower if that child is an American than if that child lives in Europe or other high-income countries. Other measures of child health, the U.S. is consistently ranked very low on child well-being and other health metrics. Adolescence is an age group that really concerned us. We found a pervasive pattern there, too. American teens are more likely to die as teenagers than teenagers in other countries. That is consistent with the data I showed you previously. Diabetes rates are very high, but also various metrics of morbidity among adolescents fare worse than in the United States. The bar chart on the right showing you teen pregnancy rates in the United States, much higher than in other countries. Rates of STDs, much higher in the U.S. Rates of HIV infection at age 15 to 24, higher in the U.S. than in other countries. Injury mortality, again, you're probably not surprised by this. The graph on the left is showing you on the red line teenage transport-related accidents for males and females. And again, the interesting takeaway for me was not just that our rates are higher than for teens in other countries, but this has been going on since the 1950s. Teenagers have been more likely to die in transport-related accidents than teenagers in other parts of the world for half a century. And again, not surprisingly, much higher rates of death rates from violent injury. Look at that dramatic peak on the red line. The good news is that peak subsided, but the bad news is it's plateauing still way out of proportion to the international averages in terms of deaths from violent injuries, and I'm sure you understand the reasons for that. The age group 50 and above, is a population that has been very well studied in terms of comparisons between Americans and their peers. So I'm not going to go into great detail other than to show you this laundry list of conditions, all of which there's extensive literature showing that the Americans age 50 and older have much higher rates in terms of prevalence of these conditions and death rates from these conditions than their peers in other countries. Any good news? Yes. Cancer mortality. We have lower cancer mortality rates than the high-income countries, primarily in relation to cancers for which we do extensive screening. So early detection of cancer may be paying off in terms of that important disease. Stroke mortality rates also appear to be, according to some limited studies, appear to be lower in the U.S. than in other countries, possibly because we do a better job of controlling blood pressure and serum lipids. We also outpace the other countries in our prescriptions of these drugs, lipid-lowering drugs and antihypertensive agents, and we may be achieving better cardiovascular risk factor control, but our cardiovascular mortality rates are still higher than the other countries, which is another lecture in itself, why control of these risk factors the way we do in America may not actually be impacting our control over death rates from those diseases. Suicide rates are not particularly higher in the United States than in other countries. I've already mentioned that survival once you reach old age appears to be higher in the United States than the other countries. And if you survey Americans and ask them to rate their health, they are much more likely to rate their health as excellent than people in other countries. We need another session at APHA to talk about why that is. And just to set Paula up with her impossible task, when we sort of pushed back from all of this evidence as a panel, we realized we had a very diverse set of conditions for which we have worse health in the United States than the other countries. They fall into these nine boxes up here. And you'll realize, if you look at these, that these are very different categories of health problems. So we couldn't step back and say, well, it's guns, or it's obesity. There's no magic bullet here that explains such a diverse set of conditions. Across all of these domains, Americans are in worse health than their peers. So that posed us with a very interesting challenge, which was, how do you explain this? And for that, I pass the buck to Paula.